Lastly, on that subject, how many of you ever heard of Reggie Lewis? Reggie Lewis was a great athlete. He was a good, clean athlete. Age 27, he was a captain of the Boston Celtics basketball team. Had a $65 million a year contract. Didn't cause the team or his public any problems. Didn't use four-letter words. Didn't use drugs. Not a bad word come out of his mouth. And in April of 1993, he collapsed on the floor during a game with the San Antonio Spurs, and he was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy. Now, because he was an athlete in good shape, he survived that first heart attack. The Boston Celtics paid 12 cardiologists $1 million each on the front end to save Reggie. Save Reggie. They spent $12 million. They didn't take $20 and send a medical student to the library to find out what are all the causes of cardiomyopathy. They just argued and bickered over who was going to get famous and rich by doing the heart surgery, the transplant on Reggie. Well, July 28, 1993, Reggie died of his cardiomyopathy. Now, here's a $65 million a year athlete, and they paid $12 million for 12 cardiologists to save him. What chance do you think you have in a hospital with a cardiologist who needs a Mercedes payment or has five ex-wives to pay? He's not going to give you 10 cents a day worth of selenium. He wants $750,000. He earned it. He went to medical school for 8 years. Well, if you believe that's true, you just go ahead and get in line. But if you object to that, don't get in line and take your selenium. Well, why does this go on? Even though we know that these things are wrong, we inherently know that, and we know that there's the truth out there. We see it in the newspaper every day. Why does it go on? Well, there's a five-letter word that's worse than any four-letter word. It's M-O-N-E-Y. And I'm not against people making a living or making money. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you injure other people to get it, then there's something wrong with it. At any rate, this is illustrated by an article that was in the Washington Post, November 2nd, 1992. And the title of the article is Lining Doc's Pockets. And the first paragraph says, if you go to your doctor, you want him to think of you as a patient, not a cash cow. But two studies in this month's New England Journal of Medicine show that doctors are out to milk you dry. I couldn't believe doctors would write that in their own medical journal. So I went to the medical school in San Diego, in La Jolla, took out those articles out of the library, and sure enough, they were in there. But they were written by two PhD hospital directors, administrators. And what they said was, hey, it's not paperwork, it's not insurance, it's not all this computer stuff that's running the cost up of healthcare. As you doctors, because there's a lot of things you can do in your office for $50. But instead, when a person has good insurance, you say to them, well, I can't quite tell what's wrong. You got good insurance. Let's check you into the hospital for a week or 10 days and run some tests. Well, who do you think owns the hospital? The doctor. The doctor does. And so he's referring you in there to make sure those beds are full and that all the overhead is taken care of. Remember, when you pay the doctor bill, where does it go? Where does it go? Well, it's gotten so bad that even the Reader's Digest has jumped on the bandwagon. To me, the Reader's Digest is a magazine that never says anything negative or bad about anybody or any group. It's the sweetest little magazine that ever was. The September 1993 issue features an article that says, can you trust your doctor? It lists 12 ways that doctors scam your money. And I'll let you read 11 of them yourself. I'll give you the worst one. In addition to their income from office fees and surgical fees and lab fees and hospitalization, in addition to all those fees, doctors get a kickback from the labs and the x-ray labs and clinics and hospitals. They get a kickback of $421 every time they send you in for a CAT scan or an MRI. And doctors tell you, oh, we do that because we're practicing defensive medicine, because if I miss something, one in 10 billion, you're gonna sue me. So I do this just to protect myself. Well, if it was just to protect themselves and you knew them and they knew you, 90% of the people say, oh, I'll just skip it, doc. If you don't really think it's necessary, let's save the money. But they got something more than defensive medicine to worry about. They get $421 in a kickback for every time they send you in for an MRI or a CAT scan. Well, when I practiced for 12 years up in Portland, somebody come to me with a terrible headache, never had one, I'd just walk up to them and tap them on the sinuses. And if they collapsed to their knees, I know they had a sinus headache. Oh, doc, why'd you do that? Well, I just wondered, that's a cheap lab test, you know. If they had blood dripping out of their nose, they'd take a $35 x-ray to see if they had a cancer in there. $35 in a free lab test, as opposed to $421. If I wanted to make that 421 bucks, I'd have been a good thief. What I'd have done, I'd have built a chute right into that CAT scan machine, because I knew how to build chutes living on a farm. And I'd have gone out in the street and I'd have got every homeless person, I'd line them up in them chutes, and I'd put soup and a Big Mac at the end of that tube, you know. And I'd say, I'm going to buy you $1.50 dinner. I'm a good guy. I'm going to buy you $1.50 dinner. You just got to go through this chute, go through that tube, and you get your sandwich and your soup. Man, they'd be flowing through there, maybe 100 a day. And I could start adding some things up. It'd be a lot of fun. Anyway, the average doctor gets $228,660 a year in CAT scan kickbacks. $250,000 a year. In any other industry, if you do that, politicians, lawyers, businessmen, stockbrokers, they get put in jail. But doctors, it's okay. Because insurance pays for it, Hillary will pay for it. We don't mind if they steal his blind. It's free. Well, remember I told you I was going to tell you about PICA. PICA is a funny disease, P-I-C-A. I'm not talking about the type style that you see in typewriters and computers. But PICA is a disease that farmers know about. In horses, it's called cribbing, when they chew on the feed bunk, the wooden feed bunk. You know you better give them some minerals, otherwise they're going to eat that feed bunk. Also, in cattle, dairy cattle especially, they're losing lots of minerals through their milk all the time, intensive milking. You'll see them picking up big rocks in the creek and chewing on them, or they'll chew on barbed wire, or maybe you'll see them walking down through a path with a deer bone in their mouth or something, or a shingle. That's called PICA. And a good farmer, a husbandryman, knows you better give them some minerals, otherwise they're going to eat the barn or something. In human beings, we see this at funny times. Pregnant women are notorious for PICA. In the middle of the night, they'll elbow their husband and say, hey, you better get up, I want some pickles and ice cream. They're craving minerals because that fetus is pulling minerals out of their body, and they need some more minerals. And so it's recognized as a craving for things like sweets and salt and so forth. We see this in pregnant women. I used to have people come to my practice and they say, doc, do I need to go see a shrink? I said, why is that? Well, I wake up in the middle of the night and I go outside with a spoon and I eat dirt. And no, that's okay. Just make sure it's clean dirt. Then they say, my kid sits there with a kitty litter box between his legs and has a spoon and he's eating that stuff out of the kitty litter box. And then in housing projects, little kids will eat lead paint off the walls and they get lead poisoning, get learning disabilities and bone problems and anemia. And we're good, so we spend $5 million to scrape the lead paint off of there and repaint it with latex paint. And all I have to do is give those kids 10 cents a day worth of minerals, be better for them and save us $5 million. It's your tax money. And if we allow them to throw them away, those dollars, it's kind of interesting. At any rate, if you have a selenium deficiency and you don't want to wait until you get cardiomyopathy and drop dead from a heart attack to recognize it, if you look on your hands and look in the mirror in your face, if you have liver spots or age spots, and I see quite a few from here, you have an early selenium deficiency that's called free radical damage. And fortunately for you, if you recognize that, and you start taking in some colloidal selenium, in 4 to 6 months those will all go away. You'll reverse that in 4 to 6 months. And when they go away on the outside, they're going away on the inside, your brain and your heart and your liver and your kidneys. And if you have low blood sugar, how many in this room have low blood sugar? Anybody in here have low blood sugar? Okay, about 10%. How many of you have ever seen a hyperactive kid who gets on sugar? Okay, about everybody in the room. People who have sugar problems are like alcoholics. There's good ones and bad ones. You know, the good alcoholics are one, when they get two drinks, they just go off in a corner and go to sleep, right? Same way with somebody with low blood sugar. They eat a big meal or they eat a piece of pie, 3 hours later, they clunk out and go to sleep. Then there's bad alcoholics. They're the one that gets two drinks in them and they get violent and enraged and they want to fight everybody. They punch holes in the wall, and, you know, big brave fellows, and they kick their wife and kick the dog and take the chainsaw and cut their neighbor's tree down and all these wild things and drive reckless down the roads and kill people. Those are the bad drunks. Well, people who have blood sugar problems, there's bad blood sugar people too. They get a little crazy. Okay, I don't know how many of you remember the Twinkie defense, right? Remember if somebody murdered two people and he claimed he ate a Twinkie 3 hours before he murdered him, so they let him off because he got temporarily insane every time he ate sugar. Now, don't any of you try that. Well, chromium and vanadium deficiency will result in the sugar problems. Low blood sugar, and if you let it go on for any length of time, you develop diabetes, chromium and vanadium. Then a tin deficiency, the early symptoms of a tin deficiency are male pattern baldness. I see a lot of tin deficiency in this room. Yes. And if you let it go on for any length of time, you get deafness. Then there's boron deficiency, and you gals should know about boron because it helps you keep the calcium you take in your bones so you don't get osteoporosis. Boron. Also, it helps you make estrogen. It helps you fellas make testosterone. If you don't take in enough boron, you ladies are going to suffer miserably going through menopause. Okay, you're going to have all those terrible symptoms. You fellas don't get enough boron, can't make testosterone, you won't know whether to lead or follow on the dance floor. You're going to be confused. She's saying, he's got a boron deficiency. Then in laboratory, oh, I should tell you too, we said this on the show today, those of you who may not have heard it, some of you didn't hear the whole show. The first symptoms of a zinc deficiency is you lose your sense of smell and your taste. You say, oh, you know, food just doesn't taste good anymore, and you don't have a cold or anything like that. And you say, your wife says, well, aren't you excited about dinner? I spent the whole day in the kitchen cooking dinner. He said, well, I didn't smell anything when I walked in. You know, he's got a zinc deficiency. Well, in laboratory animals, there's some 7 rare earths. These rare earths are trace minerals you need in lesser amounts than you need trace minerals. And they actually double the lifespan of laboratory animals. They've not been proven in humans yet. But I'm not going to wait 500 years for doctors to approve it. They're still arguing over vitamin C and calcium, right? So I'm just going to do it. Didn't kill any laboratory animals. Just doubles their life, and it's not a drug. These rare earths are called lanthanum, praseodymium, neodymium, samarium, europium, ytterbium, and thulium. There must be a reason why they're named after Old Testament cities. Well, remember I told you we needed 90 nutrients. We need 60 minerals, we need 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. And of course, we're lucky in that plants as a group can make most vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. Plants can do that because they just take carbon out of the air and make carbon chains to make vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids. But you have to eat 15 to 25 different plants a day in the right combinations to make this happen. Theoretically, it's possible, but most Americans don't do it. The average American thinks if they eat some potato buds out of a Betty Crocker box or eating a vegetable. Okay, so you got to be careful what you're considering a vegetable. Then, of course, people want to do right by their doctor and they eat low-fat turkey breasts and they put a half a jar of mayonnaise on there and they put it between 2 slices of Wonder Styrofoam bread. Remember that stuff you can insulate your house with and put in your shoes when you get a hole in the shoe? I remember when I was a kid 50 years ago, it was a lot of fun because we had Wonder Bread. We didn't have TVs back then on the farm. We didn't even have dryers that went round and round. So the only thing you could do in the wintertime was sit in the kitchen and wonder at a loaf of Wonder Bread. And it had the blue and red and green and yellow balloons on there. And if you read the label as many times as I do, you know it said things like, helps build bodies in 12 ways. And about 15 years later, the FDA made them change it to help build your body 8 ways. Now if you go to the store and look at Wonder Bread wrappers, it just says Wonder Bread. So it kind of gives you a clue. So even though this is theoretically possible, it's not likely to happen that you're going to get your vitamins, amino acids, and fatty acids in proper proportions from your diet. And so if your life is as valuable to you as mine is to me and my children's and my grandchildren's is to me, I would make sure that I take in all my vitamins and amino acids and fatty acids because I guarantee you won't make it to 120 or 140 if you don't. You're just not going to do it. Now, minerals are another story. We have a tragic story when it comes to minerals because plants cannot make minerals in any way, shape, or form. And if they're not in the soil anymore, they're not in our plants. And we have for you, when you leave, a free copy of a summary of U.S. Senate Document 264. U.S. Senate Document 264 is from the 74th Congress, second session. And it says that our farm soils and our range soils are depleted of minerals, and the crops, the grains, the fruits and the vegetables, and the nuts that are grown on these depleted farm and range soils are minerally deficient, and the people who eat them get mineral deficiency diseases. And the only way to prevent and cure them is with mineral supplements. As U.S. Senate Document 264, 74th Congress, second session, it was written and printed by the U.S. Congress in 1936, 58 years ago. You think it's gotten any better? No. It has not gotten any better, it's only gotten worse. And the reason is, if you guys do what we did, and people continue to do, is we put NPK on our land, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and you see it as these three numbers in many combinations of ratios. And these represent percentages of these three nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And those of you who don't have any experience on farms, the reason why we do this is farmers get paid for tons and bushels. There's no subsidy that encourages people to put 60 minerals back in the soil. You get paid for tons and bushels, and for 40 bucks an acre, you can get the maximum yield in tons and bushels. It only takes 5 to 10 years to deplete the land of minerals, because every time you harvest a crop, those plants pull minerals out of the soil, many pounds per acre every time you haul a crop out. So soon those minerals are gone. And if you only put back in 3 and you take out 60, it's like a checking account. If you only put $3 in your checking account every month and write checks for 60, what's going to happen to your checks? Boing, 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 they bounce, exactly. Well, I can tell you that our health is bouncing right now to the tune of $1.2 trillion a year because there's no more minerals left in our soil. It's our responsibility, each and every one of us, to be responsible for our health and consciously take in these minerals. I have a lot of people ask me, well, what did these people do thousands of years ago? They didn't even have commercial fertilizers. What did they do, these societies that had long-lived people and whatnot? Well, I want you to think about the Egyptians, the Chinese, people from India that lived around these great rivers, the Nile River, the Ganges River, the Yalu River in China. And what used to happen was every year or so would flood, just like it did here in northern Missouri last year. And every time it flooded, guess what would happen? It would bring silt or rock dust from mountains from 500 or 1,000 miles away. And those people would pray to every god they had, the water god, the sky god, the wind god, the rock god, to flood. We pray, don't flood. They used to pray to flood because they had their floods during the wintertime and it would put silt and minerals back in the soil. And their grain was very valuable. King Philip, who is the father of Alexander the Great, married the 12-year-old child queen of Egypt, Cleopatra. She didn't look like Elizabeth Taylor, all made up in beautiful costumes. She was a little flat-chested teeny bopper, not very sexy. But Philip married her because she controlled the best wheat in the world. And if he wanted his Macedonian army to conquer the world through his son Alexander the Great, he needed the best wheat in the world so he could march 20 hours a day, fight for 6 hours, and win. If they used the wheat from the depleted soils in Greece, they couldn't go 20 minutes without saying, "Mommy, pick me up." Can you imagine these big Greek soldiers? "Oh, my legs hurt. Pick me up." And so they knew the best place to get wheat was from Egypt. It was those floods that gave them those minerals. And all those cultures that came up with all the great art and all the great technology came from those places because they had more intelligence, because they had more nutrition, more minerals, I heard somebody say. Very good. Well, you're getting the picture. Well, what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to pick out a couple of minerals, just a couple of them, so you get the idea. It applies to all of them. Let's just pick out a common one, like calcium. Everybody knows about calcium. Calcium deficiency will result in something like 147 different diseases. They're just different names. They're named after people like Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is, you know, everybody knows about that. One side of your face sags. It's not a true stroke. It just affects your facial muscles. It's caused by calcium deficiency. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But everybody knows about this one, osteoporosis. It's the number 10 killer of adults in the United States. It's very expensive. It costs you $35,000 each for each hip to replace. It's okay. It's free. Insurance or Medicare or Hillary will pay for it. It costs you $70,000 for both hips. As expensive it is, as it is, and the number 10 killer, remember? Mrs. Skeets from Radford, Virginia, aged 115 years of age, she died of complications of a fall. We don't have osteoporosis in animals, and it's because of farmers we don't have osteoporosis in animals. It goes like this. You have a pasture with 100 cows in it, and this year you didn't have any calves, you can't repay your operating loan, you're in trouble. Right? Because you paid for the feed and the vet bill and mowed the pasture and fertilized and maintained the fence and fed the cows and all this, that, and the other. You don't have any calves. You can't pay back the operating loan and make any money. So you call the vet out and you say, "Do I get rid of these cows? What happened here?" And he examines the cows. He says, "Nothing wrong with them." He says, "Let me look at the bull." And he says, "Aha, here's your problem. That bull has osteoporosis of both hips, can't breed the cows, didn't have any calves." He says, "I'll tell you what, though." He says, "You give me $70,000, he says, "I'll put 2 new hips in that bull, and next year you'll have some calves." Well, the first thing that farmer says is, "Stand back, Doc." Boom! He blows that bull away with a deer rifle, And well, the kids are grinding the bull up with a grinder and cutting roast and steaks off that bull. The farmer's chewing on a straw and saying, "Now, Doc," pushes Stetson up a little bit, and he says, "You know, I wasn't going to pay you $70,000 for that old bull." He says, "I can get a new bull every year for 70 years for that." He says, "But every once in a while I get a bull that throws good calves. I'd like to keep them. Is there any way I can prevent that osteoporosis thing from happening to a good bull?" He says, "Well, yeah." He says, "If you'll give a bull calf 10 cents worth of calcium every day after he's weaned, he'll never get osteoporosis." Farmer says, "Now, wait a minute, Doc. You mean if I give that bull 10 cents a day worth of calcium from the time he's weaned, I can prevent a $70,000 disaster?" He says, "Oh, yeah, it's that simple." He says, "You mean all I have to do is give up a half a cup of coffee a day to do that?" He says, "Yeah, that's it." He says, "I choose that one." He says, "I'll give up the half a cup of coffee." And that's what we have to think like, okay? Then there's receding gums. Dentists and periodontists will tell you that if you want to prevent and cure receding gums, you better floss and brush after every meal. If you believe that works, I have some oceanfront property in Montana to sell you. If you all know your geography, you know that doesn't work. Now, as a veterinarian, I've seen hundreds of thousands of animals of all kinds, mice, rats, rabbits, dogs, cats, sheep, pigs, horses, lions, and tigers, and bears, and they don't get receding gums. And they don't floss. Now, they do get funky breath, but they don't get receding gums. Well, if you want to smell some, you just let a camel breathe on you, boy. Well, the reason we don't have receding gums in livestock is because we've dealt with the osteoporosis problem. Receding gums is not a deficiency of flossing. It's, in fact, osteoporosis of the jaw bones and of the facial bones. So if you have gingivitis or receding gums, you have advanced osteoporosis. Those bones around your teeth are melting away little bit by little bit every day. And if you take your teeth out at night and put them in a glass next to your bed and that fizzy stuff, you have major advanced osteoporosis because all your bone has melted away. Okay? Then there's arthritis. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Remember the chicken cartilage or the Knox gelatin? 85% of all arthritis is caused by osteoporosis of the joint ends of the bones. You're talking about degenerative arthritis, osteoarthritis, sciatica, lumbago, rheumatism, all those sorts of things. They're caused by osteoporosis of the joint ends of the bones. I want you to think about something for a minute. If you don't take a pain reliever or an anti-inflammatory for that arthritis, let's say you get arthritis of the hips, you're going to kind of favor that a little bit, aren't you? You're going to get a cane or a walker or crutches. You're going to favor it so you don't put any weight on it. I want you to think about that for just a second, because then I want you to think about driving your tractor in a field or you're driving a Mercedes down the highway. Either one, doesn't matter, whichever you love more. And let's say you didn't put the nut on that oil pan real tight and all the oil drained out. And that light on the dashboard comes on and says, "I'm getting hot, you better give me some oil." And that light irritates you. So you stop, you open up the hood, you get your clippers out, you know, your fence clippers, and you clip the wire to that light, and you close the hood, and you just keep driving. Would you do that to your tractor or your Mercedes? No, you wouldn't. But we take those pain relievers for arthritis, and we go out there and square dance, and do the Texas two-step, and do our five-mile walks and our aerobics. That pill works real good, Doc, because it killed my pain. And you're just wearing that thing off faster and faster. Then your doctor's really going to get rich because you need joint replacement surgery. Then there's hypertension. This is one of my favorites, so I'll put a star over here. Hypertension is high blood pressure. What's the first nutritional thing that a doctor will tell you to give up nutritionally when you get high blood pressure? Give up salt. Everybody knows that one. That's been ingrained in our head. Well, they must think we're dumber than cows, because what's the first thing you put out for your livestock is about that big? A salt block. No farmer is going to be economically viable if you don't put a salt block out for your livestock. They're going to die. Your veterinary bills are going to go crazy. But we're supposed to believe that we don't need salt. You can get everything you need out of your lettuce and your whole wheat bread and stuff like that. Well, don't believe that one either. If you believe that, I got some more oceanfront property in Montana for you. Remember, those long-lived people put a big chunk of rock salt the size of a big black Concord grape in every cup of tea, and they drink about 40 cups of tea a day because they live at high altitudes where it's very dry. They have to keep hydrated, and they put butter in their tea. They put two pats of butter and a chunk of rock salt. They don't put the pink stuff or the blue stuff or skim milk or what do they call it, Cremora or whatever it is. Okay? Guess what? The doctors who live to be 58 tell you no salt, no butter. The people who live to be 120, they put in butter and salt. So you got to make some choices. Well, they took $30 million of your tax money, and 2 years ago, after a 20-year study, they came out and said that they took 5,000 people with high blood pressure, they took them off their medication, and put them on a reduced salt diet, a restricted salt diet, and they all died. No big surprise, but somebody got a PhD degree and everybody was happy, right? But when they looked at this results, they said that, oh, only 99.7% of the people didn't get any results from that before they died. 0.3% did get some result, dropped their blood pressure 1 point before they died by restricting their salt. So the referees who judged that article said, oh, doesn't matter, you might as well let high blood pressure patients eat salted peanuts and dill pickles and salt their food to taste because it doesn't matter. In fact, worrying about the salt is more stress than taking the salt. Then they had a control group with 5,000 people with high blood pressure, and they doubled their RDA of calcium, and they stopped the experiment in 6 weeks. Because 85% of them were cured of their high blood pressure just by doubling their calcium intake. Now, they didn't cold turkey stop their high blood pressure medication, but what they did was they went to the doctor and he says, you don't need this medication anymore. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm on this experiment where I double my calcium intake. Anybody get a recall notice from your doctor saying it's okay to salt your food to taste and please do double your calcium intake? Anybody get that? Not a single one. That's very interesting. Then, of course, there's insomnia. That's where you roll around all night and you wake up in the morning, you're more tired when you went to bed. That's insomnia. Of course, doctors have two treatments for that. They have Halcyon, which is a sleeping pill, and they have barbiturates. And they kill about 10,000 people a year with overdoses of those things, but that's okay. It's a prescription and they're watching out for us. And remember George Bush, when he went to Japan, they gave him some Halcyon so he could sleep on the way to Japan because of the time difference. And when he woke up, one of the side effects of Halcyon is nausea and vomiting. I don't know how you say it in Japanese, but it was very dramatic on world TV, right? Not very presidential. Bleah! And so I'm sure that's why he lost the election, because he puked over that Japanese ambassador. And then, of course, there's kidney stones. And then there's bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits. Again, physicians will tell you the first thing to give up nutritionally is calcium and dairy, because they have this foolish belief, the stupid belief, the ignorant belief that the calcium in kidney stones, bone spurs, heel spurs, and calcium deposits come from your diet, when instead it only comes from your bones when you have a raging osteoporosis. And when you get these things, you need more calcium, not less. Then there's cramps and twitches. You wake up in the middle of the night and your foot is all cramped up around your neck and you say, Lord, take me from the knee down. I'm not going to make it till morning. We've all experienced that. That's very common. And one that bothered me when I was a teenager was twitches. My eyelids used to twitch. And I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, do people see that or is that just my imagination? And sure enough, I could see it actually twitching. So I showed my mom and she got panicked, you know. This is during the early 50s, and she grabbed me by the shirt and she took me down to this lady doctor. I'll never forget. Her name was Mary Jane Skeffington. And she had me sit down in my jockey underwear in this little stainless steel stool, you know, that you could wrench down and up. And I'm sitting there in my jockey underwear for an hour. She'd look at my eye for 10, 15 minutes. She couldn't figure it out, so she'd go on to another patient, come back, and look. I knew she was lost, right? Now, today that'd be sexual harassment, sitting there naked for an hour in the doctor's office. But then I knew she was just lost. And so I said, look, doc, I'm a man. You know, I was 14 years old. I'm a man, and I play football, and I'm on the wrestling team and the weightlifting team in my high school. If you have to amputate my eyelids, just do it. And so she got the picture, so she went in her office. She came back. She had a Maybelline mascara eyelash brush and a little mirror. I kind of looked at her, and I said, what's that for? And she said, well, the only thing I can figure out is your eyelashes are curled back and are tickling your eyeballs, and this is making your eyelids twitch. So what I want you to do, and she's giving me this feminine stuff, you know, she says, I want you to retrain your eyelashes with this Maybelline mascara eyelash brush. And I said, wait a minute, doc, you want me to sit on the bench? I play defense. You want me to sit on the bench during the team, you know, and you want me to do this? I said, my own team will kill me. You got to be kidding. So I put on my pants, and I leave, and I go to the school library, and I get out a health book written by two nurses, and I look up muscle cramps and muscle twitches, and it says calcium deficiency. So I knew when I was 14 years old the doctors didn't know anything about nutrition. And it hasn't changed, believe me. Oh, I forgot to tell you how I fixed it. I went home and I grabbed some of them calf pellets. And after eating a handful a day, in 3 days they were all gone, never came back. So if you see me with a handful of stuff bulging in my pockets, you know it's calf pellets. Then there's PMS, premenstrual syndrome. You know, the emotional and physical stuff. The medical treatment of choice for PMS is what we call a hysterectomy. It's been shortened to hysterectomy. That's a 100-year-old treatment. And the doctors do about 285,000 unnecessary hysterectomies a year, but it makes Mercedes payments, so they do them. Even the AMA said they're unnecessary, but they don't take their licenses away, and people keep going to them. You imagine a poor woman in her 30s. She says, "Doc, you got to do something. Every time I go out to hang up the clothes, my neighbor's kids run down the basement screaming, 'Witch!' My own kids think I'm crazy. My husband's leaving me. I'm going to lose my job. You got to do something." So instead of giving her some calcium, he says, "Well, I'm due for a Mercedes payment, and I know I'm not supposed to do that surgery, but let me give you a hysterectomy, and we'll both be happy." Well, the University of California, San Diego, came out 3 years ago now and said, if you just double the RDA of calcium intake, we get rid of 85% of the emotional and physical symptoms of PMS. And when that came out, there were huge lines around the health food stores around the blocks, and people had sleeping bags because they closed before they all got their calcium. And every person in line was a man. They were there for their daughters and their girlfriends and their wives and things like that. Okay, and lastly is low back pain. 85% of Americans get low back pain, whether you work on a computer or you unload hay or you drive big trucks, doesn't matter. Low back is a big problem. Low back is just osteoporosis of the vertebrae, whether you have a disc problem or whatnot, because if your disc doesn't have anything to hold on to, your vertebrae have melted away, what's going to happen to the disc? Especially if you have a copper deficiency, if these are made out of elastic fibers, they go like a water balloon with a lot of pressure on them. Well, I just want you to look at this quickly before we do the last mineral. Low back, you go to an orthopedic surgeon or a rheumatologist, you might get a muscle relaxant, you might get Valium and a muscle relaxant, you get a laminectomy, you get your vertebrae fused, you might get a disc operation. They don't tell you 75% of the time you'll never be the same again, right? PMS, you go to your OBGYN, you can go to an internist, you can go to a family counselor, a shrink, or a divorce attorney. Cramps and twitches, you go to a neurologist, you go to a sports medicine doctor, an internist, bone spurs, heel spurs, calcium deposits, you go to a rheumatologist, an orthopedic surgeon, or a podiatrist. Kidney stones, you go to a urologist, or an internist, or a surgeon. Insomnia, you go to a shrink, or a sleep clinic, or an internist. Hypertension, you go to a cardiologist, an internist, or a surgeon. Arthritis, a rheumatologist, a orthopedic surgeon, or an internist. Receding gums, you go to a dentist or a periodontist. Osteoporosis, you go to all those health specialists, including a tongue salesman. For nothing more than a calcium deficiency, it costs you 10 cents a day to deal with. Now, on the average, because Americans have insurance and we have Medicare and Medicaid, we spend, on the average, $25,000 to $250,000, and we undergo 5 to 10 surgical procedures a year for a calcium deficiency, and we beg the doctors to do it. We beg the doctors to do it. Well, it's our choice. The last one I'll share with you is diabetes. Everybody's touched by diabetes. It's the number 3 cause of death in adults in the United States. Number 3 cause of death, and it has terrible complications and side effects, diabetes. The side effects include blindness of many kinds. Then there's a kidney failure with dialysis and kidney transplant. There's cardiovascular disease of all kinds. And of course, that contributes to the number 1 cause of death, which is the number 1 cause of death. Then there's amputations. Everybody ought to have one of those because they're totally paid for in your health thing. They assume that you're not just going to get one because you want to get everything in your health benefits. And then you shorten your life because if you have diabetes, on the average, you have a shorter lifespan than someone who doesn't have diabetes. Now, we learned in 1957 in the animal industry that we could prevent and cure diabetes with 2 trace minerals. That's a pretty profound statement, that we could prevent and cure diabetes with two trace minerals in 1957 in animals. It was published in Federation Proceedings, which is the official journal of the American Science, the National Institutes of Health, the official monthly journal. It was August 1957. Today, when your doctor gets a new diabetic patient, he drops to his knees and says, "Thank you, Lord." Then he gets up and he runs to his phone and he picks it up and he calls his real estate agent. Because every time he gets a new diabetic patient, you represent $250,000 to him over a 20, 30, 40 year period. Because he knows that eventually you're going to go through that. And so he calls his real estate agent and says, "I need a new apartment complex. I need a small farm." Or their big thing now is they all want strip malls. They have this thing, it's kind of like Monopoly, you know, they all want strip malls. Well, the two trace minerals that you can get to prevent and cure this are chromium and vanadium. Vanadium alone, according to the University of Vancouver, British Columbia Medical School, vanadium alone will replace insulin in adult onset diabetics, which represent 85% of all diabetics. Of course, they can't quit their insulin cold turkey. They got to gradually wean off of it. It takes 4 to 6 months for most people to slowly wean off of insulin if they're taking in adequate amounts of chromium and vanadium. I've seen it work on hundreds and hundreds of people. Now, to me, this is criminal, because if you write to Hill's Packing Company that makes Science.dot dog food right over here in Topeka, Kansas. I don't know if I'm pointing west, but that way, okay, they're all saying that way. Topeka, Kansas, so they manufacture Science Diet dog food and other Science Diet products, high-tech foods for animals. If you write them and say, "How many minerals exactly is in Science Diet for dog food?" they'll write you back and say, "There's 40 minerals. You write Checkerboard Square in St. Louis, Ralston, Korea, and say, "Just how many minerals are in your rat pellets for laboratory rats?" And they'll say, "There's 28 minerals. I'll give anybody in this room a crisp new $100 bill if you can find me a human infant formula in a grocery store that has more than 11. So our dogs get 40 minerals. Remember, that's what Mike Murphy was saying. His dog never seems to get sick because he's getting this canned dog food with all these vitamins and minerals in there. So our dogs get 40 minerals, our rats get 28 minerals, and our human infants get 11. Is that fair? No, that's called fraud. Doesn't matter if you're talking about SMA, Similac, Isomil, Pro-Soy B. In fact, that's why they call Similac Similac, because it lacks everything. Okay, if I've convinced you that you have to consciously take in all the minerals yourself, that you can't depend on your food, and certainly you can't depend on anything that's boxed or packaged or bottled, there's three types of minerals that you have to be concerned about. One is metallic minerals, and metallic minerals are essentially ground up rocks. Metallic minerals are things like oyster shell, eggshell, dolomite, limestone, calcium carbonate, clays of various kinds, Mount Marulanite clay, seabed minerals. They're only atoms. They're only 8 to 12% absorbable. When you reach age 35 to 40, it drops down to 3 to 5%. And I have to tell you a story here. Some of you heard this on the show today. I ran into a guy at a meeting like this up at Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this fellow owns a porta potty business. You know, that's that green or blue colored outhouse. Man, if we'd only had one of those back when I was a kid. We had these ones with splinters, you know, in the wood. At any rate, he said, "I see something that describes that in my porta potty business." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Well, when we take those things back to the shop to clean them out with a pressure hose," he says, "we put a quarter inch grid underneath them because kids throw rocks and sticks and toys in there. And if we don't put a grid there, it blocks up the sewer system. It costs us thousands of dollars to fix it." He says, "Every time we clean one of those out, we find hundreds of vitamin tablets." I said, "Well, how do you know they're vitamin tablets?" He said, "Well, that's really easy." He says, "Right on the coating, it says Theragram M, one a day, Centrum." He says, "Come here." And he takes me out in the back of his shop. There's this literal mountain of all these vitamin pills he got out of his porta potties. That's because you can't absorb metallic minerals. If you read the labels on those multiples, they say your iron comes in the form of iron oxide. What is iron oxide? Rust. You might as well just go out to an old railroad track and take your butter knife and scrape some of that rust off and lick it, and you're going to get your iron supplement. Well, that's what they're giving you. Well, I'll show you how bad it is. If you take something like calcium lactate, which is a common metallic mineral, let's say it's a calcium tablet, calcium lactate, 1,000 milligrams, If you take two of those, you're not getting 2,000 milligrams of calcium. In fact, I have people all the time say, well, I took lots of calcium, Doc. I hear you on the radio talking about calcium and arthritis, and I took 2,000 milligrams of calcium a day. It didn't help my arthritis. In fact, it got worse. I said, what kind of calcium are you taking? They said, calcium lactate. Well, there's your problem, because only 250 milligrams of that is metallic calcium. So let's say you absorb 10% of that. Then the other 750 milligrams is lactose or milk sugar. So 10% of 250 is 25. So if you take two of those tablets, you're not getting 2,000, you're getting 50 milligrams. So to get what you need to take 90 of those tablets a day. You need to take 30 with each meal, and you got 59 more minerals to go. Then there's those people who want to do things naturally. Let's see if you can do anything good with 10 pounds of spinach. And let's be fair, let's see if you can get 1,000 milligrams of magnesium. And I pick magnesium because in green leafy vegetables, you have a lot of magnesium because of the chlorophyll, right? It's part of the chlorophyll molecule. And any pound of anything, you got 454 grams. And 10 pounds of spinach, you got 4,540 grams, of which most of that, 97%, is water. And let's say you have 1 gram of chlorophyll in that 10 pounds of spinach, there's 50 milligrams of magnesium. You got to divide that into the 1,000 you want. You get a factor of 20, which you multiply times the 10. You have to eat 200 pounds of spinach. You got 58 more minerals to go. Okay, so you got to be a pretty big person to accomplish all this. Even as big as I am, you can't get it done. So I prefer to supplement rather than do those things. Then, of course, during the 60s, the agricultural industry came up with chelated minerals. Chelated minerals, because farmers aren't dumb enough to pay for a dollar of something that goes into an animal's mouth and have 99 cents come out in the manure. So I have to really thank farmers for being that clever. And chelated minerals are just metallic minerals with an amino acid or protein or enzyme wrapped around the metal atom, and increased the absorbability to 40%. Then the health food industry jumped on that right away because it was a major improvement in absorbability of minerals. The most efficient way to absorb minerals is the colloidal form. Colloidal minerals are 98% absorbable, 2.5 times more available than chelated minerals and 10 times more available than metallic minerals. And they're very interesting. They're liquid. They can only be liquid. Can't be pills, powders, or capsules. They're very small particle size and are 7,000 times smaller than a red blood cell. And they're negatively charged. Every particle is negatively charged. Your intestinal lining is positively charged. So you actually have an electrical or magnetic gradient that concentrates these minerals around the lining of your intestine. These three things together give you the 98% absorbability. Now, plants have a very interesting part to play in colloidal minerals. Remember, we said that plants cannot create minerals. They're not in the soil. Plants can't make them. Remember that U.S. Senate Document 264 says they're not in the soil anymore. At any rate, metallic minerals are taken up by plants when they're in the soil. Plants convert them in their tissues to colloidal minerals. And this is how we store minerals in our body. This is how we use minerals in our body. This is how we transport minerals from their storage place to their site of use in the colloidal form. Well, our plants, our crops don't have much in the way of colloidal minerals in them because we don't have any metallic minerals in our soil. Is this important? Well, yeah, these long-lived cultures who live to be 120 to 140, they have certain common denominators. They all live in high mountain villages that are above 8,500 to 14,000 feet in elevation. They all have less than 2 inches of precipitation a year. They don't have any rain. They don't have any snow. They don't have any dew. Okay, very, very dry places. And guess what? They get all their drinking water and all their irrigation water for their crops from what we call glacial milk. Glaciers in every one of those communities grind up the parent rock of those mountains about 4 inches a year. There's more than 60 to 72 minerals in each one of those places. The water that comes out from underneath those glaciers is not clear like Perrier or Evian water or Poland water or geyser water. You take a glass full of it up and hold it up, it looks like Jersey milk. I mean, it is either yellow, white, or white, blue. It looks like milk, and it's called in Titicaca. See, I got to say it again. In Titicaca or Tibet, they all call it glacial milk because it looks like milk. And not only have they consumed it, drunk it and got 8 to 12% until they were 35 to 40, then 3 to 5% absorption for 2,500 to 5,000 years, depending on the culture. More importantly, they have irrigated with it year after year, crop after crop, generation after generation for 2,500 to 5,000 years. They have no diabetes, they have no heart disease, no high blood pressure, no arthritis, no osteoporosis, no cancer, no cataracts, no glaucoma. They have no birth defects. They have no jails full of drug addicts. They have no taxes, they have no doctors. Yet they live to be 120 to 140 without disease. Are these colloidal minerals important? You bet your life they're important. And every time you don't take them in every day, you're chopping off a few hours or a few days of your life. Okay, now most people are not going to go to Hunza or Tibet or Titicaca because we don't have Kenmore kitchens there or even Saturn cars or TV changers, channel changers or electricity. They don't have insulated houses. They don't have central heating or air conditioning. But what they do have is colloidal minerals. Now, the only place you can get these in the United States is from a prehistoric valley in southern Utah that, according to geologists, 75 million years ago had 60 to 72 minerals in the walls and the floor of that valley. And those trees and the grasses in that valley and that forest took up all the metallic minerals and made colloidal minerals in their tissues. About that time, there was a volcanic eruption which entombed that valley with a thin layer of mud and ash. Not thick enough or heavy enough to crush or pressurize this into oil or coal. It was very dry in here, so it never became fossilized or petrified, okay? Never became rock. Today, if you put a shaft into this valley, it's still just dried hay. I bucked a lot of hay bales, so I know what hay looks like. And this stuff is just hay. It's 75 million year old hay, according to geologists. You can still see the grass and the leaves and the twigs and the pine cones and the bark and so forth. And we grind this plant material up into a flour, very small particle-sized flour, just like a good wheat flour. And for 3 to 4 weeks, we soak it in filtered spring water. And when it reaches a specific gravity of 3.0, it's very heavy. It has 38 grams of this colloidal mineral in it per quart or liter. And by actual analysis, it has 60 colloidal minerals in it. And this particular product's been on the market since 1926. And it's the only nutritional product in the market that has a legal consent decree from a federal court and an approval from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to be harvested and sold as a nutritional supplement. Everybody else who has a vitamin or mineral or whatnot just follows the labeling requirements of the FDA. This is the only one that in fact has a federal consent decree to do it, because it passed all their tests. It's the only one that's been put to this level of test because it works. And people were running around 12, 15 years ago saying, hey, my arthritis got better. My diabetes got better. My early cataracts went away. My white hair turned black again. My knee arthritis got better. And so they thought, oh, they must be putting cortisone, prednisone, antibiotics, or drugs in that stuff. When they examined it for 2 years, it only had 60 colloidal minerals in it.
Dr. Joel Wallach, folks, just a point of clarification. I'd like to remind you that those minerals Dr. Wallach is talking about are colloidal minerals. They come from the T.J. Clark mine in central Utah. It's the only known source of these minerals.
Exactly.
Well, let's all give him a big hand.